Coming to you from Cincinnati's Computer Cooperative Studios, you're listening to Hemp Rock Radio on WBQC LP Cincinnati 95.7 FM. WBQC LP, as a community radio station, serves only to open its airwaves to responsible, divergent points of view. WBQC LP does not endorse any political campaign or candidates. The opinions expressed on Hemp Rock Radio do not reflect the views of WBQC LP, Media Bridges, its staff, or Board of Trustees. The opinions expressed reflect the views of Hemp Rock and our guests. Thanks for listening. Welcome, Hemp Rockers, to Radio Free Queen City and the Monday edition of Hemp Rock Radio with the happy Hemptress and joint hosts, the Burn Man, and featuring the Pottsbury Bakery and Hemp Rock Cafe on WBQC LP 95.7 FM, the voice of the Queen City.
WBQC.7 is online at WBQC.org. Hemp Rock is online at HempRock.com. The Hemp Rock Hemp Line is at 513-684-HEMP. That's 513-684-HEMP.
To talk to us during the show, call 513-564-9600. That's 513-564-9600.
And now, here's Hemp Rock Radio with all things hemp, marijuana, the drug war, and more, including guests, music, news, food, and lots of fun here on 95.7 FM WVQC LP, low power to the people.
Tear down the Babylon corporate machine. Wake him up. Shake him up. All you need to change your world is the will to do it. Never doubt that a small group of dedicated people can change the world. In fact, it's the only thing that ever has. Get out on the streets. Get onto your computer. Use the internet as a tool for revolution. Spread the word of peace. Spread the word of reason. Ignorance is our worst enemy. Educate friends and family. Never doubt that a small group of dedicated people can change the world. In fact, it's the only thing that ever has. Revolutionize. Stop killing our planet for profit. The youth will be free. The youth will be wiser. When the old boys' elite dies, you'll be ready to take over. Never doubt that a small group of dedicated people can change the world. In fact, it's the only thing that ever has. Seattle protests were just the beginning. Keep trying, we will be winning. Man can't keep us down. Let's stand up for our rights. We're gonna organize. Revolutionize. Tear down the Babylon corporate machine. Never doubt that a small group of dedicated people can change the world. In fact, it's the only thing that ever has. We're gonna organize. Babylon corporate machine. Never doubt that a small group of dedicated people can change the world. In fact, it's the only thing that ever has.
Hi, we're Cheech and Chong, and you're listening to Hemp Rock Radio on Radio Free Queens City, WVQC.org, Cincinnati's 95.7 FM.
All right. We are at least on the internet at WVQC.org. Unfortunately, our radio signal at 95.7 FM here in the city area of Cincinnati is down at the moment. There is a glitch between the tower and Time Warner's signal to go to there. So we, although nobody on the radio can hear us, we apologize to those radio listeners and hope that they have figured out they can go on the internet. We actually had a little bit of a glitch there too, but that has been fixed and we are on the air at WVQC.org. And I want to thank everybody for joining in for another segment in celebrating the life of Gatewood Galbraith. I'll tell you about that in just a few minutes, but I want to thank, of course, the Burn Man, who's over here rolling up the pot today for us. How are you today?
I'm doing okay today.
Hanging in there?
Yeah.
Well, I know that some of the listeners know and some don't, and so we are trying to, now I say, as honestly as I can, save the life of our good friend Chuck Burns, the Burn Man here, and making sure that he is getting what he needs to cure what is going on in your life. Take about a minute to explain to people what's going on that might or might not know.
Oh, I got it. Esophagus cancer, stomach cancer, goes from my esophagus to my stomach and from there into the lymph nodes.
Yeah. And they said this is fourth stage at the time a few weeks back. I'm curious to know, you know, because we've got you.
They got options for me would be options. But they tried to, when they did the scope, stick a camera down your throat.
When you got probed.
Yeah. And they cut off a piece of that tumor just to see if it was cancer.
Yeah.
Cut it off and started bleeding.
Oh, not a good thing.
Yeah. They stopped the bleeding. But then later on that night when I went home, it started bleeding. I puked up a couple pints of blood.
Yeah.
Made it back up to the hospital.
That morning, yeah. Yeah, I know it was a kind of a devastating report since we had just lost Gatewood Galbraith.
And their options for me was they couldn't cut it out. He said I'd bleed to death.
Yeah. Which is what they do for some people with stomach cancer.
That, you know, cause I've had hepatitis.
Oh.
So it won't break down the
cancer
chemotherapy.
Yeah.
The chemicals. It won't break it down.
Oh, you mean
my
your liver?
Won't.
Your liver, so you can't use that because then that'll kill you before
right.
The cancer.
And then radiation. First he didn't think radiation would work. Then he's talking about, well, I might try a little of this and a little chemo and a delicate balancing act. And
in other words, he's just practicing.
Right. And I'm like, well, ain't none of this sounds too good.
Yeah.
And nothing come off with I got more than a year to live.
Yeah.
And I figure I just go the Rick Simpson way. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ain't going to burn me with no radiation.
No, matter of fact, cannabis
might
oil.
As well go out the fun way.
Yeah, and cannabis oil certainly is going to help prevent any burns if you happen to.
I know it's
to.
Helped me out a lot.
So it is helping you make you feel better. So from the time that you were sick after the probing and was bleeding really bad and puking, how do you feel now since by that weekend, the following weekend after that, you started the cannabis oil? How do you feel now? That's about, what, 3 weeks now?
Well, let's go from before the probing.
Okay.
Because I was in pain then. That's what got me down there.
Right, yeah. Right.
It's been only constant getting worse.
It has been getting worse?
It's like it's different every day.
Okay.
Ain't always the same pain. It ain't always the same.
It's, yeah.
And then the medications they give me, I don't know what that has to do with it either.
Yeah, well, that's one of the things that you got to worry about, some of the pain meds and stuff, is that can the liver break it down and can the stomach break it down if it has a big tumor in it? So, well, hopefully you'll be with us for a long, long time. Of course, Burn Man is our Hemp Rock TV guy, and you can find him at YouTube. Potsmoker840?
Yeah, Potsmoker840.
Is your channel for Hemp Rock, and there's all kinds of good videos there that he's done, and hopefully years and years of more to come. But we hope you'll be here tomorrow.
Yeah, I hope I'll be here.
You'll feel okay tomorrow to come on. Awesome. I just wanted everybody to know what the update was with Burn Man. Now, I don't have a whole lot of time before I'm going to cut to a quick break. I want to tell you that today I'm airing a audio of the 2003 Paducah, Kentucky Million Marijuana March segment with the opening will be with Kathy Lyons, his running mate for governor, lieutenant governor in 1999, and she'll introduce him. And then, but I want to talk about that with Cher McCullough, who was one of the organizers of the Paducah, Kentucky Million Marijuana March. And so she'll be calling in just a few minutes, and we'll be talking to her. But don't forget, tomorrow we have a another show, 1 to 3, and our guest tomorrow is veteran Tony Vance, who is helping push through a Gatewood Galbraith Memorial medical marijuana bill in Kentucky. So there's some things out there on the internet about that. We're going to talk to Tony about that, and maybe a surprise guest, I'm not sure. But real quick, I want to tell you, this Saturday is Adopt the Love of Your Life at My Furry Valentine, Cincinnati's largest pet adoption event. That's this Saturday in the local area here if you want to go adopt a cat or a dog or whatever. You can get more information at myfurryvalentine.com, and it's out in the Westchester on the north end of town. There's also a fundraiser that night for another organization, Save Cats and Obliterate Overpopulation Inc., otherwise known as Scoop Inc., in Facebook. It's the Mardi Gras 6th annual party fundraiser this Saturday, 8 o'clock at the American Legion Hall up in the Green Hills area here in the Cincinnati area. You can get more information at their Facebook page. Look up Scoop Inc. And so we like to support the animals in Cincinnati as well. And so I got a lot more announcements to get to. In the meantime, I'll very quickly tell you the song at the top of the show is Dr. Reefer's Let's Stand Up for Our Rights. And you know that's what Gatewood wanted all the time. So right now we're going to cut to another song. And then we'll come right back after the break with Cher McCullough, WONPR, as well as many other things. And the song is from Sweet Smoke. We'll be back. It's Hemp Rock Radio. I'm the Hemptress. He's the Burn Man. And by the way, we hope to get on the phone tomorrow. Susan Mima Gop, she is in St. Louis with her family. Her granny is sick, so we give them well wishes for the family and her granny. And we hope to be talking to Susan tomorrow for the Hemp Rock Cafe and the Pottsbury Bakery. We'll be back in just a few minutes with Cher McCullough.
Despite a decades-long drug war, billions of dollars spent, and millions of Americans locked up in prisons, drug use rates have remained relatively constant. Any economist will tell you that as long as there's demand, there will always be entrepreneurs with a supply ready to make a profit. When a drug dealer is busted, it's nothing more than a job opening for someone else to fill. This is Economics 101. Join Students for Sensible Drug Policy to help teach lawmakers the simple economics lesson. Visit www.schoolsnotprisons.com to find out more information about SSDP, if there's a chapter at your school, or how to start one. It's time to join the growing opposition to our country's failed war on drugs and start an open, honest, and rational discussion of alternative solutions to our nation's drug problems.
WVQC. Radio for the people, by the people.
Hi, I'm Gatewood Galbraith, criminal law attorney and the last free man in America. You're listening to Hemp Rock Radio on Radio Free Queen City, WVQC.org, WVQCLP, Cincinnati 95.7 FM.
Well, sometimes. And we love you, Gatewood. We miss you. Everybody I know, including myself. And my next guest, and of course, Burn Man, who's rolling up the pot, miss him like crazy. And so without further ado, of course, share, hit shares button right there, that first one for program. There you go. Share, are you online?
I am. Is my button 420?
Your button is 420. It's the 420 right. Button that Burn Man has to hit. That's exactly right. We're gonna put the 420 on there just for everybody else to see. So just make sure you're talking to that phone real good and clear so we get a good recording of you.
Okay.
Awesome. Of course, if you just tuned in, it is Hemp Rock. I am the Hemptress. The Burn Man's rolling up the pot today, and our guest on the phone live is Cher McCullough from now Iowa.
Yes, Iowa.
But, of course, you were in Paducah, Kentucky. How long were you in Paducah?
Well, we were there like 17 years, and we did the marijuana march in Paducah from 2000 till 2010. And now Paula Willett is, she was, of course, co-organizer with us, and she'll be doing that.
Wonderful. Well, go Paula. We love Paula. And she's out there doing the good work all the time. So now tell us, how many times did you guys do the Million Marijuana Marches in Paducah?
Well, we did it from 2000 until 2010. Brian and I, my husband and I, did organized it with Paula, and then Paula has taken it over since then, and she'll be doing it again, of course, the first weekend of May this year as well, Saturday in May.
Wonderful. We are in the process of trying to figure out how we're going to organize that this year ourselves, and so that is the only downfall and downside to everybody doing the Million Marijuana March at the same time.
Yes,
we can't go to each other's events.
No, I know that's really bad. But it worked out usually because we did ours one day and you would do yours the next, so we could come on up.
And you do know why I did that, right? You know why I did split it up, right?
No, I don't.
Well, besides people like yourself that had their own event on Saturday, so I figured I could catch everybody on Sunday. Gatewood, even with Gatewood's morning, 11 o'clock in the morning, Million Marijuana March that he did in Lexington, right after that he went on to the Derby.
Oh, yeah, it is Derby Day.
Every year it hits on Derby Day, so I always knew that if I wanted to have our number one speaker, we had to do it on Sunday.
Well, that's right. Yeah,
so
I don't want to do it without him.
No, I accommodated him most of the time. Last year, I don't remember exactly what was going on, but there was a reason why I wanted to get it all done in one day. I guess just was better organizing. So I even told him, I'm sorry, I'm sacrificing him that year.
Yeah.
And I'm now, you know, after the fact, I'm sorry that I did, because we could have had one more great speech with this past year's. So maybe this year, instead of having Gatewood, I'll get a collage together. I think, you know, this just kind of popped into my head. I'll get a collage of Gatewood speeches that Burnman has on video and different stuff, and maybe let that play on the stage for a while for people to hear.
And, yeah, that was it was really kind of funny, because since we had to conflict with the Derby every year, we called ours the Kentucky Doobie Day.
The Kentucky Doobie Day.
Yeah, run for the reefers. That's what we called ours.
That's perfect. Absolutely perfect. Well, so you guys going to do one up in Iowa where you are?
I'm probably going to attend one. Hopefully, maybe I'll get a speaking engagement at one in Des Moines or somewhere, possibly.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, hopefully, you know, of course, everybody remember that is, of course, Dana Beal kickoff of the Million Marijuana March, Cannabis Liberation Day, Global Worldwide Marijuana March. and people from around the world join in every year, as well as on other days and other weekends in the year. Now, I do want to tell everybody I'm going to see what's going on. I've been trying to catch up and find out if they have put him in prison yet, and I don't think they have, because I keep seeing things from him, and I'm not sure about that, and I've been meaning to call him the last few days, so I'm going to try to do that this evening, and then we might even get lucky, and if he isn't locked up yet, get him on tomorrow, along with Tony Vance, who's our other guest. So,
that'll be great.
Yeah, I want to get an update, see how he's doing. So real quick, while I got you on the phone, how did you get started? And then we'll do an intro to what this speech was that Gatewood gave.
Well, I basically got started because of Gatewood. I was working on a gubernatorial run he was doing in 1999, when he ran for governor in 1999. And I met him working through his campaign, and he just lit a fire on with me. And I met people like Kay Lee and Eddie Smith, and they asked us to take Eddie down to Florida to an event. Turns out it was the Florida Journey for Justice, which I had no idea what that was. I wasn't active at the time in that respect. And he kind of got me going on it, and I learned about it previously from a friend of mine, Sandy Cloud. She's the one that actually got me started being interested in the hemp issue. But then Gatewood kind of taught us that, you know, there was things we could do and to amplify the voices. And, of course, there was a lot fewer of them back in that day. But, you know, he basically got a fire lit under us, and we started meeting these patients. And we actually got into it on the medical end because we started meeting these patients. And it's really hard, even though, you know, when you meet these people and you know that most of them or a lot of them are dying in the process of dying, it's just impossible not to fall in love with some of these people. And that's kind of what happened, and it became a personal issue for me because I just wanted to help these people. That's how it started out, and it just seemed so absurd that you know, we didn't have access to this natural plant that could help people and be beneficial in so many lives. And I met Kathy Jordan.
Is that your old man? Is that your other half out there in the background?
Yeah, well, let me tell you, Kathy Jordan. She was the lead patient on the Florida Journey, and you know, it just turned out to be an exciting and very spiritual experience, and I was just hooked. It was just I was a goner from that. You know, I just had to continue. I couldn't stop.
Yeah, I feel the same compelling thing, and I kind of got hit with that feeling even before, and then when I found out who Gatewood was, it just kicked into high gear. And then even, you know, higher gear with when I found out who Jack was, because I heard about Gatewood before I knew who Jack was, or even heard about him. So it was kind of one, you know, boom, 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 and here we are 21 years later for me. And
I like to say that Gatewood was the first arc in my circle, because he really was.
Yeah.
You know, he really was. I'm always going to be grateful to him for teaching me that that there was these issues at hand, and that there was something that we could all do about it, not just me.
Yeah.
We all have the ability and the potential to do something about it.
Yeah. Mine actually came first from Dr. Timothy Leary, and then Gatewood, and then Jack. Kind of went full circle, because it turns out that Jack is the guy who educated Tim Leary on a plane once after they lectured at the same place.
Is that right?
I didn't know, though, that when I saw Tim and the few things that he had said and things that he had talked about, that some of the information he got came from Jack. So it actually was Jack. It was unbeknownst to me. And so that's a story I'd like to share longer in more depth later. But so we've got about a minute to real quick, you guys' feelings, because I know you and Brian are really, really excited for this to air, because you wanted to get this out there to the public, this speech. It was from the 2003 Paducah, Kentucky Million Marijuana March. So tell us real quick what led into, of course, you knowing Gatewood, but the comments and the kind of speech that he gave that day.
Well, he was very passionate at this particular march, because it was just shortly after Tom and Raleigh had been killed up at Rainbow Farm, and that was a place,
Michigan,
and people that Gatewood had actually introduced us to, and we had become friends with them and spent a lot of time up there with them. And so this was like the first march after that they were systematically executed by our government, basically. And so that was one reason that Gatewood was so passionate in this particular speech, because he was, you know, very close friends with those people.
Right.
as were my husband and I. And so he was very passionate about it, and we also had the stage manager in attendance that day, as well as the general manager, Doug Weinbach, and the stage manager, Derek DeCrane, were in attendance there too. So it was a very emotional day for all of us, and he was mad. I mean, he was just passionate about it, and he was just mad, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I mean, I've heard this parts, bits and pieces of this same speech from Gatewood several times, of course, you know, spending as much time as we have with him. I'm sure you've heard parts of it too, but in this particular version, he was just very passionate, and I thought he just did an excellent job, and, you know, he just sounded fantastic, and he was just so personable with those people, and he really was able to get his message across very well to the people that were in attendance there. And I'm hoping that this speech being aired now after all these years, even though it's all still true. It's all still true, and very much pertains to today. It's not, you know, back in the day. It all still pertains to today.
Right, right. Well, I'll tell you, I want to thank you guys, first of all, for letting me share this with everybody on our show, since it came from your event. And I'm really glad that I was able to help you guys get the audio and get it together. But now what I've done is, although it was, I think, originally in like 5 or 6 clips that you guys have given me, I put all of this together into one segment with a couple of minute intro of his running mate for Lieutenant Governor Kathy Lyons from 1999, who spoke right before him. And so I took a little bit of a clip of what she had said for her intro into Gatewood's speech. And so folks, this is going to run for almost 27 minutes, actually. And so I wanted to get Cher on here to intro what this was, so folks knew exactly what this was. And hopefully if people missed it today, it should be up tonight, if not tonight, by tomorrow. And by the way, folks, in the last week, have been able to get to most of the shows over the last month and get them edited and up on the WEEDRadioNetwork.com. You can go there, scroll down till you find the archive picture, click on the picture of us, and it'll take you to the archive page, and you can find all of the different shows in the last month and a half, from the holidays all through the Gatewood memorials, including the one with his daughter Molly from a couple of weeks ago, which was great as well. And so, Cher, I want to thank you, first of all, for doing what you do, and tell Brian next time he gets to come on the air.
Okay, well, thanks for getting this out, sweetie. I appreciate it.
No problem, folks. So anyway, that's Cher McCullough, of course, and Brian in the background, the other half. And upcoming is the Paducah 03 Million Marijuana March speech, kickoff with Kathy Lyons introducing Gatewood Galbraith. We're going to run that, and it'll be all the way up to the top of the hour. Don't forget, we are on again tomorrow, 1 to 3, right here at WVQC.org, and hopefully 95.7 FM. I'm the Hemptress. He's the Burn Man. We'll talk to you tomorrow. But sit back and listen to Gatewood as he tells you what it is.
As a matter of fact, our next guest speaker up, I would like you guys to pay close attention to what this woman's got to say. She's been an activist longer than I've been alive. She is what we like to call one of the few and proud free people left in America. Let's put your hands together for Kathy Lyons.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I want to thank everybody who came out today. I want to thank especially Cher and Brian and Paula, all the people who got this organized. And many years ago, I met a lawyer that I could respect. There aren't many of those out there. I know of two that I hold a great deal of respect for, and one of them I can call a personal friend. I'm going to introduce him to you. I first heard of Gatewood Galbraith, and I thought, that man's crazy. He's walking up and down the streets, just daring people to arrest him. And then I realized he's right. He bills himself as the last free man in America. Well, I decided that freedom is promised by our Constitution, by our Declaration of Independence. And maybe there's work for me to do too. And so I encouraged Gatewood. I worked for him when he ran for office. I wrote him encouraging letters. And then on one day in 1998, he called my bluff. And I got a bigger mouth than any siren anyway. I'll talk over it too. Gatewood said, if you really want to do something for Kentucky, come out and help me. Be my running mate. I didn't know until then how much courage I really had. Can I really step out there and take that final step and say, all right, I'm going to do something instead of sitting back and talking about it. Instead of just writing letters to the newspaper and gabbing to my friends, I'm going to do something. And I was honored to be asked to be his running mate in the 1999 election for governor. And let me tell you, folks, this would be a different gathering if they'd have counted the votes right. Yeah. You'd be, I'd be introducing the governor today. And in my mind, I'm introducing a man that has a great deal of integrity. He's an honest man. And he's a free man. And I'm proud to call him my friend. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Gatewood Galbraith.
This right here is a real heroine here in the state of Kentucky, folks. This lady right here has more courage than anybody over in that building hurling that siren going on right now. Got more integrity than all of them put together. Thank you, Kathy. Yes, indeed. My name is Gatewood Galbraith. I'm an attorney in Lexington, Kentucky. I'm very proud to be a part of this gathering here in Paducah. I'm a son of Kentucky. I was born in Carlisle, a little town of about 1,500 people, right outside of Lexington. Moved to Lexington when I was 12 years old, and pretty much got activated right from the start. Graduated from high school in 1965, and went Marines in 1966. My government at that time had convinced me that the Vietnam War was correct, and I needed to fight for freedom and kill people for freedom and die for freedom if I was a true American. And I fought that line, hook, line, and sinker. And I went to the Marines. I was 4F. I didn't have to go anywhere. I was undraftable, but I made them take me in the Marines because I'm committed to keeping America free. I spent 5 weeks on Parris Island and got discharged because I had an attack of asthma. I was 19 years old. I didn't know marijuana cured asthma, but I do now. I got out of Marines. I started learning about what the Vietnam War was about, and I've soon learned that it was nothing about what the government was telling me it was. That, in fact, this government had me misled and confused and ignorant about the most basic aspects of society and the American way of life and how this system operates. They had me as a puppet, and they had me ready to go halfway around the world and kill men, women, and children at their behest because of the way they had me thinking. And it was that lesson that taught me that what the government does and what it tells you is not always the truth. That, in fact, they will propagandize you, they will lie to you, they will psychologically neuter you and your character and your dignity if they think that it will make you subject to their whims and their plans for who they think you ought to be. So when I found that out, I started questioning the government. I started questioning what it is they told me. I started questioning who they are and how they got to in that position of power. I was 19 years old. When I was 21, my best friend, who had just gotten back from Bangkok, Thailand with a duffel bag full of Thai stick, got a hold of me, and he said, Gatewood, he said, I got something here for you. I think it'll help you. He had seen me in my asthmatic stage. He had seen me collapse when my lungs closed up on me when I was a teenager. He had seen me be debilitated and have to be sent to the hospital because of asthma. And he brought it back and he said, here, Gatewood, try this. This will help you. And it did. It cured my asthma. That was in 1971. 31 years ago, and I hadn't had an attack of asthma since. I'm sorry, 1968, hadn't had attacks of asthma since. And so I'm unapologetic about being a champion about it. There is nobody in this country who has any kind of degree that can come to me and tell me that it doesn't work, because I know it does. It saved my life. And since that time, I've talked to thousands of people whose lives have been saved by an association with this plan. It is God's most natural, wonderful medicine. And it's people who create artificial sounds like that, who want to create artificial society and live in ignorance and disregard of the basic human condition and who we are as human beings, who are trying to displace our association with this plant. So I was active out there. I was 24 years old. I was a milkman. I was an activist, but a milkman. And I decided at that time, as in 1971, I decided at that time that I was going to end up in jail or underneath the jail because of me and my attitude and my aggressiveness. I decided there's only four places for an aggressive young man like me from Kentucky to go, and that's jail, law, politics, or Tennessee. And I've been to the first three, and I'll be damned if they're going to chase me into Tennessee. But what I decided was that I was going to start living my life as a warrior, impeccable to my own beliefs, willing to stand up and pay the price for my beliefs. I wasn't going to let the government instruct me how to believe in anything from here on out. I was going to trust my own basic sense, my own basic gut, my own basic mind and thought processes. So I decided at that time that I was going to go to college and become an attorney and become governor of the state of Kentucky and change the marijuana laws. Because then, 31 years ago, as now, the laws against marijuana and the people who associated with it are the most vivid illustration of how the government has overstepped its bounds in policing private behavior in this society today. Yeah! They have assumed a position that is absolutely indefensible in the face of the science and truth that's been generated about this plant and its role in mankind. Prior to its illegalization, it was the basis of more than 50% of the medicines on this earth. But there has been a concentrated attack on that. And here's where it's coming from. In 1912, a group of German industries and pharmaceutical companies got together, and they formed a company called IG Farben. IG Farben was a consortium of the petrochemical companies and the pharmaceutical companies and the chemical companies and the industrial companies of Europe at that time. And their mission statement as a corporation was to make the human body, its ailments, and its cures their exclusive commercial domain. They set out to make sure they controlled the medicine, and they controlled health, and they controlled life on this planet. And they built all kinds of international relationships with large corporations all over the world, including General Motors and Eli Lilly and American corporations, who were kind of envious of the way that these people were able to get together and manipulate markets and manipulate their own government, which business couldn't do at that time here. So IG Farben bankrupted World War I. Or World War II, rather. They bankrolled the Third Reich. They bankrolled Hitler. They were all the German industrialists and corporations who came together to form the Third Reich, the Nazi nation. And they waged war on the United States. They waged war on humankind. They were fascists. They had no limitations. They had no rules on themselves. And they damn near took over the world. But they got defeated. Fascism, when they're fascists, fascism did not get defeated. The top 22 CEOs of IG Farben were convicted of war crimes. That was what the Nuremberg trials were all about, with IG Farben and executives being tried. And 22 of them got convicted of war crimes. And one of them was hung, and the other 21 were sent out in exile and in prison. In 1952, David Rockefeller of Rockefeller Corporation came back and got them all pardoned and released from exile and bought them back and put them into the American industries in kingpin positions that they had occupied in the German industries at the time they were bankrolling World War II. It was done under the auspice that we needed their intelligence to fight the Russians in the Cold War. But what actually happened, was that these fascist son of a bitches were able to sink their taproot of fascism deep into the soil of American liberty and take root to where they institute and constitute a threat to the American way of life today. A threat to the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and the American way of life. And these people have taken over the corporate personage, the corporate direction. And a lot of the American corporations that they were bought into are no longer American corporations. They're owned by other people. They're owned by people who have never said the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America or to the Republic for which it stands. And they're not warm and fuzzy about you or you or you or you or your children or your parents. They don't give a damn. They haven't grown up under the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. They don't understand how important it is. All they understand is in the implementation of their new world order and global economy, the American Constitution and the Bill of Rights are impediments to its implementation. They are. These people, they are dangerous. People say, Galbraith, who is they? I'll be glad to describe them for you. They are the petrochemical, pharmaceutical, military, industrial, transnational, corporate, fascist, elite son of a bitches who represent a threat to us all. And the kinds of checks and balances under our form of government, which should have kept this from happening, have been negated, have been neutralized by the extraordinary amount of special interest money that's coming into our political system and buying off our elected representatives from the top down. Anybody in the Democratic or Republican Party on a national level, except for one person, Dr. Ron Paul, out of Texas, they sold out to the New World Order. They sold out to the global economy. Our representatives have let us down, and it's time we got them replaced. We have to replace the people in office. We've tried, and let me tell you, there's always light at the end of the tunnel. I've run for governor 3 times in the state of Kentucky. I ran in 1991 and 95 for the Democratic nomination for governor. 18 of the last 19 governors have been Democrats. If you win the Democratic nomination, you're pretty well in. I thought if I could win that, we'd be there. But the party froze me out. They wouldn't let me come to any party functions in both of those elections. So in 1999, I ran as an independent and was asked by the Reform Party if we would take their nomination. At that time, I had to have a lieutenant governor candidate, and I came across and wooed Kathy Lyons to join me, and that's one of the reasons I gave her a big hug when I came up here, because she had the courage, the guts to step out here and run as my running mate in the 1999 election. As I tell people, I picked her because she's from Western Kentucky, she's female, she's never been arrested, she brings real balance to the ticket. But Kathy stepped out there and was a part of it, and being outspent $3 million to $15,000, she and I got 15.3% of the vote in the state of Kentucky for governor. That's phenomenal, folks. It's phenomenal. It shows how much can be done on little resources, but a lot of elbow grease and committed people. Margaret Mead once said, "Never doubt that a small group of committed people can change the world. In fact, it's the only thing that ever has." So small groups of people can get it done. And it's never too late to be an activist. One of my heroes is Lech Walesa out of Poland, who started the Solidarity Unions in the shipyards of Poland in the face of the Communist Party and the Communist government. And they took Lech and they put him in a jail cell and took away his union and took away his family and took away all his property. And there he was, a simple man sitting in a jail cell with no party, no property, no family, and the whole communist government of Poland against him, and he kicked their ass. Lech Walesa ended up being elected president of Poland. So don't let them take away what you've got and make you feel hopeless or helpless. Somebody wants to ask Franz Kafka, says, Franz, what is existentialism? And Franz said, existentialism is always having a choice. And they said, well, what if they come and they take away all your property and all your family and put you in a jail cell naked? What kind of choice do you have then? He says, well, you've always got the choice about what kind of attitude you're going to take about them doing that to you. So they can never take your attitude, folks. And that's one of the reasons they're really afraid of this green natural plant. Because anyone who would step out of what they want you to be chained in and make your own decision and find out for yourself what kind of relationship you can have with this green natural plant, you got an attitude problem, and I'm damn proud of you for it. You know, if I ever wanted to be known as anything, it's as a constitutional attorney. When I found out I was capable of dedicating my life to something on which I could either kill or be killed over, when I found out how easily and malleable and flexible and what a puppet I was in the hands of the government, when I decided I was going to make my own decisions about those kinds of things,
hey, Gabe.
I cast about to find out what was worth fighting and dying for in this lifetime. And that question for all of us who are seeking what life is about in the grand adventure of being alive in this birth-death cycle, you must answer the question, what is worth fighting and dying for in this lifetime? Some generations have it dropped inextricably in their lap, like the Vietnam War generation, or the Korean War generation, or World War II, or the Gulf War. Is America worth fighting and dying for? Is freedom worth fighting and dying for? Yes, it is. Who gets to decide when it's time to do that fighting? That's up to you. But what I discovered was the American Revolution. The American Revolution. I was 24 years old and a milkman. I didn't know the history of things. I wanted to find it out. So going to college, doing a lot of reading, I found out about the American Revolution. And let me tell you something. The American Revolution is the most fantastic political event that has ever hit this earth in modern times, in the history of mankind. What makes it that, is up until the American Revolution, everything was conducted in a fascist manner. Fascism is when people exercise arbitrary power over you, or arbitrarily exercise power over you. It's like a king or a queen or a military junta. When the king says, off with your head, you're gone. You're gone. There's nothing to stop them. There's no rules to stop them. There's no rules to say they can't do that. And in that kind of society, when it's a successful society and you have surplus of gold and wheat and commodities that are valuable, it all gets laid at the foot of the king. It all accrues to the benefit of the crown or the military strongman. That's fascism. The American Revolution introduced a constitutional form of government, which is the antidote to fascism. Because what the Constitution does, it spells out specifically what the powers of government are, and otherwise they are limited in the exercise of any powers outside the Constitution. The Constitution proscribes the government from acting in a fascist manner. And the Bill of Rights came in and laid it out in even more distinct language about what the people were capable of and the rights they had that ought to be protected. But I will tell you now that because of the extraordinary amount of special interest money, because of the so-called New World Order and global economy, because so much is being decided about us as citizens by non-citizens out there, that the constitutional form of government and the limitations it puts on the powers of government to affect our private lives is in great danger right now. It is in great danger. People are not being taught about the history, the sacrifices, the battles that have been fought for us to, by God, have the right to be self-determinative. But what you must learn as a generation is that every generation must re-win its own freedoms. That the sacrifices and the blood that have been left by previous generations, they don't ensure your present freedom. Only your attitude ensures your present freedom. Only your knowledge of your constitutional rights is exercise of freedom. The Constitution is only a piece of paper with words written on it. It doesn't have a life. You must give it life, and I celebrate the fact that you're doing that right here by your presence at this in Dolly McNutt Park today. We've got to fight for the Constitution, folks. We can't let them take it. We can't let them take it. In my political gatherings around the state, the reason we got 15.3% of the vote was quite simple. That over the last couple of years, I've married up marijuana and the militia in the state of Kentucky. And the way I did that was that I went to all these people with guns. And I said, now look, do you know that hemp is petroleum? And they said, we had no idea. I said, did you know that a great deal of our foreign policies and the wars that we're led to send our children into are based on an arbitrary scarcity of fuel, and that the same people who are trying to put you in jail over this green natural plant are the same people trying to put you in jail over your guns? And they looked at me and they finally start to cog on it. We have a common enemy. That enemy is the enemy of the entire Constitution and the full spectrum of the Bill of Rights. And then I went to the marijuana smokers and said, look, we ought to get these guys with the guns smoking as much kind herb as we can. It was a natural marriage. What I'm telling them is the same thing that I'm telling you. That they have us divided over one or two issues. We may not agree on abortion. We may not agree on homosexuality. We may not agree on education. We may not agree on any one of several other basic things. But we must not let our disagreement on one or two or three issues divide us under the commonality we share as citizens of the United States, free, self-determinative citizens, all of whose rights of expression and behavior are protected by the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. We must come together, find the common ground, or else we will be divided and conquered by these fascist governments. You live in a republic. You're not a democracy. You live in a republic. It's a difference. The Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. It doesn't say to the democracy for which it stands. It says to the republic. And what's the difference? Well, to paraphrase Benjamin Franklin, a democracy is when two wolves and a sheep sit down to vote on what's for dinner. A republic is when the sheep has access to an Uzi and can say, come get it, furballs. We live in a republic. And what gives you the moral right to say, come get it, furballs, is that you have been granted certain inalienable rights by your creator that are outside the purview of any form of government. Be it a constitutional form, be it a fascist form, be it any other form of government, you have certain inalienable rights given to you by your creator. They are the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And this government is getting further and further away from that aim of government all the time. Government only grows at the expense of the people, so the broader and bigger the government gets, the less you have as individuals. And unless we stand up and draw the line and fight them tooth and nail at the polls and in the public arena and out here where in front of God and everybody, unless we stand up to these evil, they will prevail. But I'm not going to let them in my lifetime. And I appreciate you all being here. Thanks very much for having me.
It's Gatewood Galbraith, folks. Give him a big old Paducah, Kentucky round of applause like you mean it. I've worked with Gatewood in a lot of shows, and I have a ton of respect for this guy. We love you, Gatewood. I wish my state had a Gatewood. If Michigan had a Gatewood, I'd probably think about staying there. You know, I think I might move to Kentucky just so I can vote for Gatewood. Pretty deserving vote right there. If we could get 10% of the politicians in the country to think like Gatewood, our battle would be so much easier. So we got all these morons and loafers going to the Senate and Congress and being bought and sold.
subscribe.
Hi, I'm Gatewood Galbraith, criminal law attorney and the last free man in America. You're listening to Hemp Rock Radio on Radio Free Queen City, WVQC.org, WVQC-LP, Cincinnati 95.7 FM.
Hey, I'm Willie Nelson, and I started the Teapot Party so we could tax, regulate, and legalize marijuana. If you lean a little to the left like us, please join us at Facebook.com/Teapot Party or through your local party, including the Cincinnati Northern Kentucky Teapot Party, or start one in your area. And I like that one.
This has been the Monday edition of Hemp Rock Radio with the Happy Hemptress, the Burn Man, and featuring the Pottsbury Bakery and Hemp Rock Cafe. Hemp Rock Radio airs Mondays and Tuesdays, 1 p.m. Eastern on WVQC-LP. Find Hemp Rock Radio archives at weedradionetwork.com.
Watch Hemp Rock TV on Northern Kentucky's Insight Cable Channel 21, Cincinnati's Time Warner Cable Channel 4 and 24, and now online at weedradionetwork.com.
You can join the Hemp Rockers list at HempRock.com and the Hemp Rock Hemp Line at 513-684-HEMP. That's 513-684-HEMP. Please visit CincinnatiMarijuanaLaw.com. That's CincinnatiMarijuanaLaw.com. Hemp Rock Radio, the Pottsbury Bakery, and Hemp Rock Cafe are brought to you by Hemp Rock Productions. Thanks for listening to Hemp Rock Radio and Radio Free Queen City, a member of Media Bridges Community Media Center on 95.7 FM, WVQC-LP, Cincinnati. WVQC-LP broadcasts from Cincinnati's Computer Cooperative Studios. You can listen online, become a member, and support the station at WVQC.org. Coming up next on WVQC-LP is Jay Allday with Cincinnati's Conscience, where hippie meets the hood.
WVQC, people-powered radio.